And understanding that you are in a fight, you are in a battle of epic proportions right now, whether you realize it or not. You're in a fight for your life. And you got to lace it up if you're going to get in the game. Because the enemy is throwing everything he can at you. Everything he can. He's throwing financial issues at you. He's throwing family issues at you. He's emotional issues are coming at you in order to get you to move from your standing and your position in God. Because if God is who he says he would be, then that's going to be tested by him. It's going to be tested by him. He doesn't need to be tested. He already failed. You do. So he's going to do everything he can to test you and your faith and your standing and your position. And whether you realize it or not, he's coming after that. He's coming after that. Don't think so. Think about your emotional state this week. I want you to think about your mind this week. I want you to think about things that were coming at you even this week to knock you off your perch of where you sit in God. It's not a joke. It's not a time to play games. We're not a church that believes in playing games. We're not a church that believes in just having a great worship experience and then moving on. What we do, our lifestyle is worship. Our lifestyle is worship. He says to present your body as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and pleasing unto him. Your life is worship. So what you do in your life, Monday through Saturday, is worship to God. And so that's why you can't come in and expect to get what you need to get just on Sunday. It may not be here. And so you have to be ready to go the rest of the week, because the enemy is coming at you and trying to get into little doors that you still have open, and trying to get into crevices that are still open, and trying to pour salt on some of the wounds that are still in your past. But I'm here to tell you today that it's time to give those over to God and to say, God, I pray that you would finally take these and restore back the joy of my salvation, because all I know is that I need to get close to you. I get close to you. Haven't you gotten to the point in your life where you're ready? You're just ready. You're ready for something different. You're ready for the goodness of God, not only to shower over you, but to move you from where you were to where you need to be in God, so you can stop faltering and reverting back to stuff that doesn't work for you anymore. It just doesn't work anymore. The tricks are the same. They're the same. The one thing about tricks and the one thing about our faith is that once you've been tricked once, okay, once you keep getting tricked, it's on you now to try to fix that. And if the enemy keeps coming at you with the same trick, you got to adjust your vantage point and see how you're responding to that. What has God delivered you from, and what has he taken you from, and how good has he been, so that you can stand firm when the test does come and you can pass the test. The reason why the test keeps coming is because you haven't passed it yet. Once you pass it, you'll move on into the next phase. But that is going to keep coming until you pass it. God, I'm tired of it. Pass the test. I don't like hearing that. I think God's supposed to deliver me because he's good. He's going to deliver you once you pass the test. Once you finally recognize he is who he says he is and you learn the lesson that needs to be learned, God will move you on and pass the test. Aren't you tired of repeating the same thing over and over again? And what happens is that God understands that, but we don't sometimes, and so he keeps bringing it around so you can pass it. Pass it. So if you get nothing else out of today, it's pass the test. Pass the test. And we're not even on the message. So Jesus is talking in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. It's a Sermon on the Mount, and we're beginning a series called Blessed. It's on the Beatitudes as we go into Palm Sunday and the Easter season. And I want you to think about what he says here. He says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is. Father, thank you so much for ears to hear what your Spirit is saying today. In Jesus' name. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the first one. Blessed are those that are lowly. Maria, go ahead and put that definition up for me. Blessed are those who crouch, who are beggarly, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He said, happy are you if you are in a position of your life spiritually where you're in need of something, you're in need of saving. And I want you to think of your life before you met Christ and how beggarly you were and how you crouched. You may not have thought you were beggarly, but when you look back, you were looking for something. You were looking for something. That's why you gravitated towards something in order to fill it, in order to prop you up, and it never satisfied. And so because of sin entering into the world, your spirit has already been damaged and you are born in with a sin nature. And that sin nature cannot be eradicated or cannot be dealt with on your own. It has to be dealt with only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he did that on the cross. He died so that you can be free. And so that when you come into a relationship with Christ, that new nature, the Bible says that you are a new creature or creation in Christ. All things, old things are passed away. Now all things have become new. And so now you're in a position of newness in your life. The problem is that we still deal with the effects of the old. Just because you were saved one time doesn't mean that you're not still in need of saving. Daily, he is giving you the things to continue that work of salvation in your life. It's not just one time. I'm not saying that you have to repeat your salvation process every single day and ask the Lord to come into your heart. I believe that if you've already done that, then you are saved. Unless you are walking in a course of disobedience and you have to go and do your first works over again, that's between you and the Lord. But God doesn't expect you to ask for forgiveness and ask you to ask him to come into your heart every single day, every time an issue comes up. That's a waste. The sacrifice was once and for all, and it was sufficient. So you are in right standing with him. You have a position with him. The problem is that our state is affected now, and we still deal with stuff in our nature. Even though it's a new nature, we still deal with the effects of the nature. That's why the New Testament, Paul talks about there's a war between the flesh and the spirit. There's a war that goes on. And so I don't do what I want to do all the time because that nasty flesh continues to rise up and try to usurp what the Spirit of God has come in to wreck and to overtake. And so when we're led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says we're the sons of God. We're the sons of God. But we have an issue, especially in the body of Christ, where we got so much flesh hanging out. We have so much flesh being represented in the body that the Spirit of God sometimes is dormant or he's just distant. Because we haven't learned to master the flesh. Haven't learned to. Oh, and I would say this. What do you mean master? Well, if you can master your flesh, you would be further along than you are right now. But that's why we have an issue with the flesh that continues to come up. That human nature, that human side of us that craves things that are not good for us. Craves things. So much so that what it does is the craving gives way to idol worship. And so you crave what you desire. Nothing wrong with desiring things, but when you desire something so much to the point that it has to satisfy you and only that can satisfy you, then we've crossed over into idol worship. I'm not talking about your relationship with God because we know that God in himself is all sufficient, as the great I am doesn't need anything. So if you are setting up God as the only thing that you need, you're in a great spot. And that's the fight to make sure that he stays set up as God. There's a reason why there was such a outcry in the Old Testament for God, for the children of Israel to tear down idols. It's because they were worshiping what was created. They were worshiping what was man-made as opposed to God himself. And God has gone to great lengths to show them, not just show them, but show you who he is. Why do you think there's so much of a fight when it comes to distraction to get you to see God in the midst of your circumstances? Because if you can't and you don't, you'd be lost without hope. Because without God, everyone is lost. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one in here that's righteous. No one can claim righteousness on their own authority. No one can claim that they're justified by their own faith. No one can claim that they have peace with God because of what they did. No, you only have peace with God because of who Jesus is. That's it. That's it. So you cannot convince me or convince someone that it's by how good you are that you're supposed to gain access to God. You can do all the good you want, and God looks down and says, but you don't know me? And it's like a filthy rag before me. Because we don't do stuff to gain God's approval. We're already approved by God because of his son. We're already approved. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to have to take some stripes along the way in order to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Now follow me here. It doesn't mean that now I have free reign in my life to abuse grace anytime that I want. This is where you get it wrong. Now I have privilege, but at the same time, you have responsibility. And so if you think that you're going to worship God on Sunday and then live like hell on Monday and then come back in and say, well, then, but God's my source. He's my Savior. I'm just going to ask for forgiveness. You are entering into a vicious cycle that God will not allow to continue. Not allow. Because you are spitting on the grace of God and you are refusing to give God his due all of your life, all of your worship, 24/7. That means that God has access to you at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yes, he does, because he bought you. As the new rightful owner of you, he has rights to you. And so if he wants to bother you at 3, he can bother you at 3. Remember, he doesn't sleep. So now he has access. So you can't pick and choose how far you want to go with God or what access that you want to give God, because God says it's all mine anyway. And so if I want to come in and invade some of the property that I bought, I'm going to do that. You know, when a landlord, he's called a landlord for a reason. He has access to the properties that he manages, correct? Correct. And a lot of times you'll see him give a notice and say, hey, listen, I'm going to stop by because I want to check something. Or sometimes he doesn't stop or give you a notice. He just stops by because he doesn't have to give you notice. He manages the property. And so if God is the new landlord of your property, so much so that God has purchased and died for you and shed his blood for you, he now has the permission to go in and wreck your plan, your purpose, and do what you think is sufficient in order to get the job done, because he wants it done differently. You could paint the walls differently. You could try to dress it up. You could try to hide stuff. But if God does not like what he sees, he's going to come in and he's going to re-renovate what's inside. Because he purchased it. It's his. Let's go back. Oh, he not only did it, but he created it. So he created it, then he purchased it. Wait, yeah. He created it. Then he purchased it because we messed it up. That doesn't change the fact that God is who he says he is. Just because you had a mishap or did something that you shouldn't have done in your life doesn't discount God's authority and ownership. Okay? Just because you feel like you have left God and turned your back on him doesn't mean that God is still not God and that he's still sufficient and that his word is still true, and that when he sets up parameters and boundaries, he sets them up for a reason. God is still the same God yesterday, today, and forever, despite your wandering and your crazy. He's the same. He's the same. So don't get it wrong. Don't think that just because you're in a season of your life and you're not doing what you say you think you should do, or you think that God is not moving as fast as he should move, that God is not the same God who he says he's supposed to be. God is still Yahweh. He's still the great I am. He's still all sufficient. He's still Jehovah Jireh. He's still Jehovah Rapha. He's all of that. All of it. And there's coming a return back to that. Haven't you noticed a shaking? So that there's a return back to, you are who you say you are. That God, hey, just as a reminder, I own the rights to the property. And not just that, I own the rights to the earth. I own the rights to the world. I created it. It's mine. It's mine. And I gave my life for it. Now your response is required. What will you do in response to that? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you recognize and realize that your life and allegiance is now owed to him. And maybe the problem is that you don't recognize God's supreme authority to rule this earth, to rule this world. The very God who created it. As if you got here by yourself. And you forget. And so when God comes in and asks you for something, it's hard for us to give it to him. But because I think we have a wrong mindset. Because it's all his anyway. I've given you stuff to steward, and it's on loan for you right now. You're borrowing things right now. I've given you, you're on borrowed time. Borrowed time. And so, if I'm going to come in and ask for something, I want it because there's something specific I want to do with it. Or just as a test, I want to see if I'm still first. If he has, well, hold on, change of ownership now. He's in your heart now. He sits on the throne now. New nature now. New mind now. New mind. So he has free reign to roam anywhere he wants. Free reign. He is not limited by your body. He is not limited by walls. Remember, he appeared to the disciples in the New Testament. What's up? You got anything to eat? He is not limited by your mindset. And now some would say, well, if we have a lack of faith, God won't do miracles. God's going to do miracles. I want you to think, you've never been perfectly aligned with God in your faith. I've had perfect faith every time. And God's met me every time because my faith has been on point. No, God has made up the difference because your faith falls short. And he helped you believe to get to that point. So that, Lord, I can now believe you because of your goodness that you will come through for me. Thank you, God, for giving me eyes to see. And then I come into partnership with him, and all of a sudden I'm transcended. My perspective is transcended to see that he is still on the throne and that he is able. He is able. He doesn't wander, I wander. And so I need someone to keep me connected because I know that I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to fall off cliffs. I'm prone to do things my own way. I need someone who's going to keep me in pocket, who's going to keep me where I need to be. Keep me where I need to be. If God would leave you to do what you want, you probably wouldn't show up. Some of us ask God, well, Lord, I just want the freedom to do what I want. I asked the prodigal son how that worked out. Ask the Israelites how that worked out when they wanted a king. I want you to think every time that you ask God for something that you wanted so bad that you couldn't do without, how did it work out for you? And then when you look at hindsight, thank you, Lord, for showing me that lesson, that I'll get what I need when I need it because you're sufficient. Because I'm poor in spirit. I don't know what I need. You think you know what you need all the time, but in reality, God knows what you need. A lot of the times we're asking God for breakthrough and we're asking God to give us victory, and God said, well, in spite of that, because I'm trying to teach you something, I'm going to give you grace that's sufficient. What am I going to get out when you pass the test? When you realize that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, that actually the state that I am right now, it is blessed for me to be here. Blessed. Do you realize that? It is blessed. You are blessed to have a problem. Oh, now we're getting to it now. Because some of you are like, I hate these problems. You are blessed to have a problem right now because it's forcing you to rely. You are blessed to be in the state that you are right now. All the issues, all the trials, all the temptations, all that stuff that's coming at you right now, you are blessed. You are blessed. You're waiting to say that I'm blessed when it's good. And God say, listen, you want to pass? When you're down low and you're crouching, I want you to say you're blessed here because guess what? You'll rise. Lord, take me. Take me through it. Take me out of it. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. You don't like how God talks to you like that? You're trying to ask God to give you like an answer, and he comes back with you with the word. Yeah, just rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Lord, I need an answer. My grace is so sufficient for you. I love you, son. Don't you see what I'm going through? I see what you're going through. But man, for the joy that was set before me, I endured the cross. Despising the shame, and I sat down at the right hand of the Father. God speaks to you in faith. You know that? He speaks to you in faith. God, when God speaks to you, it's not some lowly thing where God don't think he can do it. Or there's no authority behind it. When God speaks to you, he actually speaks to you in faith. Like, there's weight behind it. Okay? There's weight behind it. You don't have to ask God to speak up if you're listening. And a lot of times what we do is that we doubt what we heard, but in reality what we heard is what God actually said. We just were not in a situation or a position that we thought we could receive it, or we just didn't like what it said. So when God says, rejoice always. He means rejoice always. How can I rejoice always? You can. Watch what it'll do for you. All of a sudden, it'll raise you up out of that pit, and you'll see my grace and how sufficient I am, even in the midst of hardship. That's the problem we have right now. Everyone's trying to avoid pain. Everyone's trying to avoid hardship, and they're trying to mask it up and get away from stuff. I got to get immune. And God said, if you just expose yourself to life, and you'll expose yourself to the hardship, it'll do something for you. It'll build something in you. Instead of running away, run in. Lord, get me out. No, I'm going to get in. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's good for me to be stuck in this trial right now. It's good for me because I'm learning some stuff about who God is. I'm learning about the goodness of God. Even though it's hard and uncomfortable, it's still good. I'm blessed right now. I'm telling you, I'm blessed. I'm in a good spot right now. Is everything perfect? Like God wants it. It's good. It is good. It is so good because it's teaching me something about the goodness of God. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? He says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Well, the Bible talks about in Romans is that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I am learning the essentials of the kingdom right now. What are the essentials? Righteousness, peace, and joy. So if I can get those mastered and nailed down, I'll give myself a right perspective and a good footing to land on when I continue to walk in this life. So when things come at me, I don't doubt and question what's happening in my life. Oh, it's just the kingdom. It's just at work in me right now. Because the king is doing something different in his kingdom. If it's his kingdom, his rules. You think about it. So if we are part of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is moving and it's advancing in the earth, and it is advancing in the earth. It is advancing in the earth. So we have to know what the kingdom of God is like and what it actually is doing. Well, we know that the kingdom, it's righteousness, peace, and joy. And so my standing is going to be fought in God. My righteous standing will be fought in God. But also, the way I live my life is a direct reflection of my standing with God and how I view God. And so if I proclaim to be a Christian, but then I live like this, that opposes what my proclamation is, then righteousness is really not being developed in my life. Righteousness is also something that has to be developed in your life. It's not just given to you. It is credited to you because of who Jesus is. But you have to live righteously. That's what being in the kingdom is about. He gives you the grace to begin to live righteously too. So I can't just live the way I want to live and then come back in and reclaim that God is who he says he is. There's a disconnect there. It doesn't work there. Your conscience won't let you. It won't let you. That's why you're bothered on certain things that you know to be wrong that you allow. Because your standing says one thing, but the way you're living says another. And is in direct opposition to what the word says. And if you will just correct that pattern or behavior, you'll find yourself in a better frame of mind. Because God will bother you and prick your conscience to the point that you make a decision. You make it. Why? Because where's your battle? It's in your head. You're going to wrestle it down in your head first before you see it in your life. And if you don't think you're going to wrestle, you will. If you don't think you're going to have to pin some thought patterns down and have to arrest some things in your life that are not godly, you will have to do that in order if you're going to be part of the kingdom and advance in the kingdom. Because the kingdom is now brought with it some issues that we haven't had to deal with before. Now we're actually seeing that there is an enemy that's out for my destruction, and I have to get my mind right. Far be it from me to live a duplicitous lifestyle, because it's not beneficial for me to do that. I can't be split in my devotion, because there's no confidence when I'm split. No confidence. There's no progress that can be made when I'm split in two different directions. If it's God or if it's her or him. I can't be that way. It has to be God, because that is what's most important. Has to be. And if you're there and you're wrestling with that, well, I don't know if I can let go of that. I'm telling you that if you'll let go of what God's asking you to let go of, you'll come face to face what you're actually looking for. And stop being duplicitous. You can't love everybody else and love God at the same time. It just doesn't work that way. It's one of the reasons why he talks about it in commandments when he got it down to two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Never said, love your neighbor as yourself, then love up. Never said that. Because what happens is when I love around here, what I begin to do is I set up everyone else as my source. And they can't be the source. It can't be the source. There's only one source. One source. And it's him. And if you're struggling with that, it's because God's trying to get you to see that he's the source. If you're not in a place or where you feel like I'm in a good place or position with God, he's trying to get you to see that. He's the only one who can bring the satisfaction that you need. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. People come and they go. Great. But the only one who gives you true satisfaction is God. That's it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord. When I met Jesus, I met the answer. I am now a citizen of heaven. I am now in a new kingdom. Not only am I righteous before him, I'm learning how to live righteous life, but now he also said there's peace that's there. Thank God that there's peace now between me and him. If anything threatens your peace, get out. If you don't have peace about it and you're wrestling over stuff, then take a step back. Why am I struggling with this? Lord, is this something that you're trying to teach me? What is it? If you don't have peace about it, chill. You got to check about something? Check it. Why go into it struggling and a nervous wreck? I'm not talking about situations that God gives you. Growth opportunities are different. Hold. Because some of us, we can make ourselves have peace. I'm struggling, but it's hard, so it's got to be God. When you're really walking with God, there might be a little struggle, but it doesn't overtake you to the point of where I can't make a decision about this. There's freedom in him, but he also gives you wisdom, and there's peace about it, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. He gives you peace. Okay, peace. I have peace with God. If something threatens that peace, I'm taking a step back. Because that peace is worth preserving. That peace is worth preserving. Now, if there are issues in my life that I'm struggling with, I take it to the Prince of Peace. He helps me deal with it. Only he can help me deal with it. And I move on. But if there's other things, if you threaten my peace, we're going to have a problem. Okay, so let me put it this way. A lot of us have kids. You've grown up around kids, et cetera, et cetera. So the one thing that you begin to realize about your kids, especially as they get older, I don't know what happens, but your intensity for them grows as far as your protection, the love that you have for them. And you begin to see things and begin to contemplate things that you never thought you would contemplate before. Especially when you have two daughters who are growing up, there's nothing that I would not do for those daughters, including death. Including death. And you begin to realize the love that God has for you when you have kids of your own. There's something that happens supernaturally where God begins to almost help you see his love and his heart for you as an individual. You. And so when you begin to see the love of God for you and how passionate it is and what God would do to get your attention, you don't want to threaten that peace and that love that's there because you know it's sufficient, it's satisfying. And you see the great lengths that God does to get your attention because he wants a relationship with you. And so when you have your kids help you deal with that and begin to see it with another lens. And so as I begin to grow, that relationship between me and God gets tighter. I care less about what everybody else says and more about what God says. The problem we have now, church-wise, I'm not saying here physically, is that we care what everybody else says, and then we say, okay, then God, what do you say? How are you going to live that way? I don't know how you do live that way. Because God has set it up for his relationship with you to be number one. Peace, peace, peace. I know we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I know we wrestle against principalities and powers. I understand all of that, but I can still have peace in the midst of it because I'm working out my own salvation. I'm learning. I'm growing. God's teaching me some things. But so the minute I get interference, then we're going to have to talk about it. And a lot of times it has to do with my mindset, or maybe I'm not in the right frame of mind, or I am deferring to someone else when I should be deferring to God. Checklist in your mind right now. Things go awry. Things are uncomfortable. Things aren't going the way that you think they should. What do you first check first? In your mind, just think about it. What do you look first? What do you look first? I wonder what they're doing. Isn't that what happened when coronavirus hit? What are they doing? Okay. If they're doing it, I'll do it. And then you miss out on what God's trying to do with you. I told you last year, there was a time where we were online for about, I don't know how many weeks it was, until finally I felt like God said, that is enough. You get back to do what I called you to do, because we are in danger. We are in danger of fear taking over and causing people to step back. Danger. Danger. You got to listen to God, what he's telling you. So much so, listen, even in my relationship with my wife, I love her. And there are things that, I use that as an example because it's a great example as a husband and wife, and those can attest in here also. There are things that we don't see eye to eye on because I feel like God's showing me something else. And then God may be showing her something else. It doesn't discount that God doesn't speak to both of us. But I still have to do what I feel like God is calling me to do. And if you remember in our series, when she submits to it, guess what? God blesses it. But if there's always, hey, what do you think about it? And what do you think? And then we don't put God anywhere in the midst of it, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. God still has to be number one in any relationship that you have. And so for those of you who are looking for a man, you're looking for a woman, I just want God to come in. I want God to come in and fix my marriage. Well, is he first? We're raising up people to be idols, raising up people to be gods. And God said, what are you doing? I'm the only one. I want my peace. I want my peace. And I know in order for me to be at peace, we got to be good. You know how it is when you got that friend? You don't feel like you're good. You're like a little off. So with God, and that's small compared to God. If we're off, I got to get that right. I got to get it right. You couldn't get me out of here today if I wasn't right. Because I'd go home thinking about it. I'd go home wrestling about it. Why aren't we right? What's going on? I got to get right. And when I hear, I'm pleased. And when I hear, you're doing a great job, guess what? We're right. We're right. Because when he says it, he means it. And I know when we're off. If I feel like I'm a little bit off, I got to get back where I need to be. Okay, we're good. No problem there. But my peace is at stake. My peace. My Jesus peace. And then the third thing is joy. Joy in the midst of all circumstances. Joy. The joy of the Lord being my strength, not happiness. I'm not happy. It's okay. All right, cool. But do you have joy? Nah. Joy is deeper than happiness. It's the reason why the writers of the New Testament can say the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because in the midst of prison, in the midst of abandonment, in the midst of hardship, they learn the secret to success. Joy. And it's because I had him. And if you look at all three, they all line up and they connect. When I'm in a right state, guess what? I got peace. When I'm at peace, I got joy. Mess with one, they all twist it up. So what are you twisted up in right now? What's messing with you right now? What's messing with you? I'm entangled. Well, let's get untangled. Well, I might have to make a hard decision. Well, make one. Because your righteousness is at stake. Your peace is at stake. And your joy is at stake. Do you realize that joy can transcend you over your circumstances so much that it doesn't matter whether you have much or have little, but your joy is sustaining you? You realize that? that your joy is such a gift. So even in a marriage that's not working for you, guess what? You got joy, you can ride that thing out until God changes it. You better ride. There are times you got to ride that thing out. It's not working for me. Okay, but I got Jesus. I got the joy of the Lord. He's my strength, and he's showing me stuff, and we're doing good, man. Him, you can be doing good when we're not doing good. That's a sign of maturity. If we're not doing good, then we're not doing good. We got it backwards. I'm doing good. I can still be doing good when I'm with her, and we're not, quote, unquote, where we need to be. But even in reality, where we need to be is probably not where we need to be. But I got joy. I'm in good standing. It doesn't change. God's working out that peaceable fruit of righteousness in my life because I'm enduring hardship. I'm enduring discipline as a good soldier, as a son. And that peaceable fruit of righteousness is being developed. Thank you, Jesus, for that endurance. And that, don't you like the feeling of a peaceable fruit of righteousness? It just sounds good. What do you want? I just want a peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's what I want. There's something about getting through something and making it through that's satisfying, as opposed to bailing. I'm not talking about God's grace. I'm not talking about seasons of your life. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is just getting through something. It could be personally. You got to learn to fight for yourself. I'm waiting for someone else to come do it. They're not coming. No one's going to want to try to come and save you. And even if they do, they'd be doing you a disservice. Sometimes you do people a disservice where they need to pull their own self up. And God said, I'll do the saving. You can lend a hand. But I didn't call you to get down on that. We want to help everybody. Ever notice where that, I don't want to be psychological, but ever notice where that comes from inside? There's a deep need inside everyone. They want to make sure everyone's helped. Everyone's helped. Only God can save. Only God can deliver. Nothing wrong with meeting needs, absolutely. But even that can get out of balance if you're just doing it with the wrong motive. I got to help everybody. Why? Why? There are certain things, I'm telling you from past experience, that God said, this between me and you, man. I'm not sending anybody. It's between me and you. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Best thing, because it helped me. It helped me righteous. It helped me, that peaceable fruit of righteousness was developed. Oh, it was awesome. Peace, because I had peace with him, because of what he was doing with me, was what he wanted to do with me. No one else could infect it. And joy that was developed, because, son, I want to see you fight through it. I want to see you grow. This is about you. This is not about everybody else. And if you'll get this, you'll see something that you have not seen before in your life. And I'm telling you what, it's been the best thing that's ever happened. God kicking out people, kicking out crutches, all that so that I can lean on him. Oh, man, I wouldn't trade it. I would not trade it. I'm not going back. Thank you, Jesus, for the struggle. Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's sick. Yeah, it is. I know. Thank you, Jesus, for the struggle. That's why we're doing this. Thank you, Jesus, for the struggle. Thank you, Lord, for building something in me that cannot be built anywhere else. Thank you, God, for the peace that I have, the deeper peace that I have right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the joy that whatever circumstance. Thank you, Lord, that, oh, that's okay. That's just normal. Thank you, Lord, for that. That's normal now. Thank you, God, for just showing me the keys to the kingdom, what the kingdom is about. Thank you, God, that show me that it's under siege, that we are in a war, that every day we got to lace up, that we got to go out, and that we got to win some battles, that we're going to have to actually get on the field to win. I don't want to get healed. Well, I want to get healed, but I want God to do it privately, because if he does it privately, then I can testify of God's goodness. But don't ask me to go through any sort of issue or excavation process of childish ways or for God to get into the emotional state. Don't ask me to cry. Don't even ask me to cry. Don't ask me to cry. Don't ask God. I don't want God to deal with any bitterness. And go away. And forget about getting around community. Don't even ask me to get around community, because I know if I get around community, God will spill all my stuff will come out. And then God, and yeah, it might. Just ask Toby. We're the best thing that ever happened to Toby. And a good, but Toby knows I love her. She knows I love her. Listen, no joke. Three or four years, been on a journey. What I'm saying is this. I want to feel righteous. All right. I want to feel peace. I want to feel joy. But don't want to do anything to get there. I don't want to leave any. I don't want to let things go. I don't want to be uncomfortable. Don't ask me to fight. Don't ask me to stand in faith. Don't ask me to take up my sword. Don't ask me to do anything. Wait a minute. So you want the benefits of being a Christian, but you don't want to do the things that a Christian is supposed to do. That's not being part of the kingdom. So basically what you're saying is you want God just to do it for you. But what God's saying is I want you to see the value of us doing it together. There's a value in it. So I let you struggle because it's for your good. Come on now. Come on, guys. I let you struggle because I let it happen. Let's just, come on, body of Christ. Come on, body of Christ. It's not just about raising our hands and God coming in. He does things. We feel great. The presence of God is great. But when God gets in and starts to do the work that is supposed to be done, that's where it's at. I appreciate being broken. I appreciate the process. But God does not expect you to stay in that state the rest of your life. I'm sorry. It's not biblical. I'm sorry. It is not biblical. It is not. There needs to come a point where you are healed of certain things so that you can receive the love of God, know how valued you are, know how valued, and begin to do what God's called you to do regardless of the repercussions, regardless of that stuff. You got to be healed of that stuff. The tighter you hang on and the more you want to close off, the harder it's going to be for you because God's just going to come in and bring more tension in there because something's going to have to release. Something will have to. And God will keep sending you around people who are not like you just to bother you. Just to bother you. Okay, I'm going to keep sending you around the person until you finally get to a point or where you realize, you know what, it's better. The kingdom has a better way. It's better in the kingdom. There's righteousness in the kingdom. Wait a minute. There's peace. There's joy. Okay, back there, heartache, depression, discouragement. I'm going this way. Because even in the kingdom, if there is stuff like that, okay, it doesn't override the power of the kingdom. Before, it would have took you out. It took some of you out. But now that I'm in the kingdom, guess what? I've seen it. My righteousness has not changed. I still got peace. You're crazy. You want to leave? Go ahead and leave. I still got peace. I still got joy. Okay, it's different now. I want that kingdom. I don't want the other one. Is that attractive to you? See? The response is like, well, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. 1, 2. I mean, that felt good, but this didn't. And so you go back and forth. But in reality, doesn't this take the place of what was? It should, but it's hard. It's supposed to be. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Few who find it. God said not everybody's going to make it. But if you stay on the road, guess what? Riches in all eternity. You'll walk into my inheritance. I'll look down and say, welcome home, good and faithful servant. You did it. Welcome into the joy of the Lord. Welcome. But you have to live this life. You got to pass the test. You're not just going to get in just to get in. Well, I'm in, brother. I'm in. I got my ticket. I'm saved. I'm always going to be saved. And listen, praise God. Praise God. But you will have to walk through some stuff, and your salvation will be tested. Lace them up. You're going to be tested. The cute thought process that you have is going to be tested. Your view of God is going to be tested. The way you look at people is going to be tested. When God comes and specifically begins to talk to you about certain things that you didn't think that this was part of the kingdom. Yo, this is part of the class. This is part of the kingdom. No matter how long you live, your response to the question of who God is extremely important. It will determine your destiny and determine where you end up. Paul even wrote it in Romans chapter 1. He said, no man is without excuse. Because even creation speaks of God's attributes. I didn't write it. Paul writes it. Paul writes it. No man's without excuse. I'm going to cover it all. So that you can never say, I never knew. You can never say, I never knew. No, I know God's faithful. He's always knocking on the door. Always knocking on the door of hearts. Always knocking on the door. It's a matter of what not you're opening the door. Always knocking on the door. Why do you think he hasn't come back yet? Because he doesn't want to? He wants to. I'm patient. I'm waiting because I want everyone to be saved. Everyone. I'm patient. I'm patient. The kingdom. Everybody stand to their feet if they could.